Welcome to Little Joe's Conservative Corner, the podcast where we delve into the latest news through a conservative lens. In each episode, Little Joe sifts through the top headlines and news articles, offering insightful commentary and analysis from a right-leaning perspective. Whether it's politics, culture, or current events, this show explores the issues that matter most to conservative listeners.
Get ready
to cut through the noise and get to the heart of what's really going on in the world today. Let's get started. Welcome to Little Joe's Conservative Corner.
But do you really believe that when people talk about the threat to democracy that Trump poses, do you really think that that is as equal to Biden?
I can make the argument that President Biden is a much worse threat to democracy. And the reason for that is President Biden is the first candidate in history, the first president in history that has used the federal agencies to censor political speech, so to censor his opponent. I can say that because I just won a case in the Federal Court of Appeals and now before the Supreme Court that shows that he started censoring not just me. 37 hours after he took the oath of office, he was censoring me. No president in the country has ever done that. The greatest threat to democracy is not somebody who questions election returns, but a president of the United States who used the power of his office to force the social media companies, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, to open a portal and give access to that portal to the FBI, to the CIA, to the IRS, to CISA, to NIH, to censor his political critics. President Biden, for the first president in history, to use the secret, his power over the Secret Service, to deny Secret Service protection to one of his political opponents for political reasons. He's weaponizing federal agencies. Those are really critical threats
Donald
to democracy.
Trump, of course.
Welcome back on this Tuesday, RFK. Basically saying that Biden's a much worse threat to democracy. Not basically. I mean, he was saying Biden's a much worse threat to democracy than President Trump was, because he is the first president in history that has used the federal agencies to censor political speech. He's also weaponized the federal government, as you heard him say. These are all things that we know. Surprising that he would say that, and he was actually doing an interview on CNN while saying that. So I'm curious, you know, of CNN's five viewers, how they took that news. CNN with their big, gigantic ratings. They're doing such a great job. I'm curious how they took that news, because to be honest with you, I believe that he's 100% right. Anybody or any president that tries to silence speech in any way, shape, or form, if you are suggesting or doing things that contradict what is in our Constitution and our Bill of Rights, then I think you are a much larger threat to democracy than somebody who does not. And President Trump absolutely has not and did not, will not. President Trump wants nothing more than this great nation to remain great, wants to see it return to its glory days where we were the best automakers in the world. We were making everything. We created. We didn't buy everything and farm everything out. It was all made here, you know, built in America, American tough, made here in America. He wants to see everything restored back to those times. Why? Because he, in his opinion, and I would say that most people that follow him or like him, or most people that are pro-America, feel the same way. You know, those times were a little bit rosier to us. I think we love America that much that we love that about America. We love that we did everything here. We didn't need anybody else's help. Nowadays, I think to Back to the Future, and I don't know if it's Japan or China, I forget. I love that series, don't get me wrong. But there was one of the movies, there's a Doc says, you know, on this board, you know, no wonder this thing broke. Look at this. It's made in Japan, or he said China, one or the other. And Marty, and this is in the 80s, in the late 80s, girl in the night. What are you talking about, Doc? All the greatest stuff's made over there. All the cheapest junk is made over there. In that movie, Doc was 100% right. It was just cheap junk. And that's what we get now, because everybody wants to turn a huge profit and pay as little as possible for something. And since people are consumers and they just want to buy, they want the best price on everything. Well, the only way that you're going to get the best price or make somebody feel like they're getting the best deal is for you to give them the cheapest the cheapest product possible that you could sell to it for, which means you got to get it as cheap as you possibly can to make money on it. So you're just selling people a bunch of cheap throwaway crap. And that's all anything is in society anymore, to be honest with you. I mean, if you look at anything that you buy, you know, I think about like dishwashers and washing machines from 20 or 30 years ago that lasted 20 or 30 years. And now we're at a point where you got dishwashers and dryers and everything that if you get 5 years out of them, you're doing pretty good. You get anything more than that, you're doing fantastic. I mean, these things are all throwaways now. They break down and everything, including cars. No, classic cars. Yeah, growing up, I mean, I love classics, and growing up, everybody had their old classic cars, and they're made out of metal, and instead of all the plastic and crap they're made out of now. But these cars were a piece of Americana, and they withstood the test of time. I mean, you see people riding around in a Model A, Model T. These vehicles have been on the road for, some of them, in some cases, 100 years. Okay. Name a car that you see today that you truly believe is going to be on the road 100 years from now. I don't think there's a one. Why? Because they have made it where your vehicle runs good, probably for about 5 or 6 years, right when you're wrapping up your payments, and then you start having electrical issues, and you start having all kinds of problems with it. And why? Because they want you to turn it in, and they'll send it off to an auction, and do whatever they do with it, and they want you to get a new car because it's a throwaway. And eventually, when that car gets done, it just goes to the crusher like everything else. I mean, that's a society that we live in. It's a waste. It's a throwaway. And Donald Trump doesn't want that. He wants an America where we build things that last, that stand the test of time. Joe Biden obviously does not. Joe Biden wants, he loves China. Joe Biden wants dollar store quality crap. And you know how I feel about the dollar store, Dollar Tree. It makes me nauseous. Speaking of President Trump, gag order against Trump has been expanded to bar any attacks on the judge's family. Donald Trump had in the recent days targeted the daughter of, Julian Merchant, the judge overseeing his criminal case in Manhattan, in a blistering social media post. And because of that, it has now been expanded. Trump's gag order includes family members of any counsel, staff members, the court, or the district attorney. What I find to be so amazing here in America is they can attack Trump all day long, as much as they want. They can say anything about the man that they want, and they're putting gag orders on this man where he can't even fight back, and he's not even allowed to respond. So he just has to grin and bear it. I mean, this is truly is. It's a two-tiered system, and it's a one-sided system. If you're not playing ball with the right team over there, if you're not in rubbing elbows with the right folk and playing the dirty game they're playing, you get the Donald Trump treatment. You get the Trump treatment. That's what you get. Yeah, well, oh, man, you're not doing what the Democrats want you to do. You're doing that, bro. Be careful. You're going to get the Trump treatment. Yeah, you ain't going to be able to talk. You're not going to be able to be on social media. They're going to put you through the ringer. That is what is happening right now. And it's so interesting that in all the issues that Trump has and all the courts that they have, right? A Texas woman just got sentenced to 3 years in prison for death threats to the judge in Trump's document case. Tiffany Shea Gish of Houston pled guilty in November to leaving threatening voicemails for the U.S. District Judge Aline Cannon. Why? Because she's a Trump-appointed judge, and she's a conservative Republican. And it's interesting that with everything that they're doing to Donald Trump, you don't hear anything about threats from our side against all of these Clinton, Obama, whoever appointed judges that are attacking Trump. You don't hear us sending any death threats. We don't like it. We voice our opinion on it, but we're not sending threatening messages and death threats to them. But yet the other side, when there's a judge or somebody that they don't like, the death threats, they just start coming like, bad cold. Amazing how all of that works. Anyways, this lady did plead guilty, and She is was sentenced to 37 months in federal prison following 3 years of supervised release. So she's going to get some time for making those threats. But, you know, you often wonder how much of an impact that has on a case, because now this judge, is she scared for her family and her family's life? Does she think that there are other crazies lurking around the corner? I'm sure she does. And that this is the way that they use, they do these things and use these moments to bully these judges and anybody else who's trying to do the right thing, to bully you into doing what they want you to do. This is part of the whole two-tier justice system. This plays into all of that 100%. Unfortunate. But that's just, that is currently the society that we live in. I hope things get fixed. I think under the right leadership, we can start straightening some things out. But it's going to take more than just one man. It's going to take more than just one president to straighten out the United States. It's going to take all of us. It's going to take all of us doing our part and paying attention and doing what's necessary and teaching the next generation to fight for their freedoms moving forward. If over in time and over time, we're going to get everything restored back to what we would like to see it back to. All right. Oh, this is something, actually, this is something I wanted you guys to hear. I think it's important.
Than a gas powered vehicle. So Tim, if you got fewer parts, fewer time to assemble, fewer hours on the job, that to me sounds like a lot of pink slips up in Michigan and Ohio and these places that manufacture cars.
Yeah, and that's what President Trump was saying is, look, there's a potential bloodbath in this industry, particularly with this very, very aggressive timeline. And you're exactly right. An internal combustion engine versus an electric motor are two very different things. One's more easy to manufacture, which means you have less labor requirements to do that. To this point, though, which is, and you mentioned it earlier, that the internal combustion engines that are vehicles that are being sold are subsidizing and managing the billions of dollars of losses that the U.S. auto manufacturers are covering on the EV side of things. And they're not ready to get from here to there. We're looking at a significant loss, frankly, pending bankruptcies if they don't figure this out. And bankruptcy, as you know, leads to bloodbath in workforces. And that's it's a horrible thing to have to consider. But that's what the President Trump was getting at, you know.
Because you missed it in the very beginning of that clip, that is Tim Stewart. What he's doing is he's breaking down EV's threats to auto workers. So the question was, you know, the difference between the two, and you heard his breakdown to that. I mean, a real threat. EVs are a threat all the way around. If you listen to what he is saying, it's the same thing that all of us have been saying. Number one, EVs should be a choice. If it's your choice and that's what you want to ride around in, cool. I mean, everybody's got a different opinion, a different flavor, different. They just like different cars, and I'm okay with that. I could care less. I mean, I wouldn't buy one personally. Yeah, but it's not about me. It's not about what I want to buy. I'm just saying in general. If you want to buy that and that's the look that you want and the car you like and whatnot, cool, then go ahead and do that. But it should be a choice. It shouldn't be mandatory. What's happening is there is an aggressive timeline. First it was 2030, then it's 2035. And these companies are trying to figure out how to get away from making the combustible engine and go all 100% electric. But the demand is not there and the technology is not there. And everything else with it. EVs don't have the best reputation right now. And not just because I don't like them. If you look around at all the news that's pouring out about them, they wear your tires out faster. Their service is faster. You have the potential of always running out of power and being stranded somewhere in them. They're very delicate in certain circumstances where they're going to need special tow trucks. Not just any tow truck can hook up to it because you're going to damage the vehicle. So you can't do that. The cost of them is very costly. The insurance costs, they are not only high for that, but they're being driven up. They're also driving up our insurance for just regular automotive drivers insurance because of the electric vehicles. You see, there are long-term questions about how long can these vehicles last? What is the cost of replacing their batteries? There's such an unknown here. And then your personal costs beyond that, which is making the conversions and getting all the right charging stuff installed in your house, which can be very costly, and it's going to vary based upon where you live in the United States, but it ends up being a bigger expense. People don't want it. The demand is not there, but the demand for the combustible engine is there. They're flying off the shelf like hotcakes, but these guys want to change them over. So ultimately, what does that mean? Besides all of the other costs in these unrealistic timelines to try to get all Americans on board to do what they want us to do by 2030 or by 2035, they're going to start laying off workers. Why? As he just said, they're easier to make. There's different parts to make. It's not the same thing. So, and then not to mention the bankruptcy side of it, which he spoke about. I don't need to repeat. It costs us all the way around. This ideology, this green, this low emissions, low carbon output, or footprint, all this crap, it's hurting everybody in the country. And instead of them saying, hey, we're going to give some incentives and some subsidies and some tax breaks if you are investing in these good technologies, not forcing it on anybody, but if you're investing in them to where you could get somebody as creative as, say, an Elon Musk to go in there and really take a hard go at it and make these cars as good or better than gas-powered vehicles. Because ultimately, that's what needs to happen before the demand is going to skyrocket. Yeah, I think Elon Musk is getting closer and closer all the time. I think that the man's smart enough to figure out, hey, I'm going to make an electric car. There's going to be people that like it. If you like it, drive it. But I think he's going to get it to a point realistically where out of a charge, you'll probably get 500 or 600 miles, maybe even 1,000 miles on a charge on a regular vehicle. And when you start getting to that point, if the maintenance is lower, if the cost is lower, if it's more affordable, or if at least it's in line with a gas-powered vehicle, you'll probably have more people making that transition and they're willing to try out these vehicles. It's possible. I'm not with them one way or the other because if it's all about environment, okay, well, first of all, you're talking to the wrong guy. I don't even like new cars. So I certainly am not going to like anything that they're selling me there. So that's, but if we're talking about the environment, let's go there. What is the environmental impact of the disposal of the batteries? How about other components that are in the cars? Do we even know? Are they even telling you? I know the battery, it can be very dangerous. I can say now because I no longer am employed there because of relocating. But my job was, I did work at a landfill. That was part of my job. So I know pretty intricately about waste disposal and could tell you probably a lot of things that would either make you happy or make you sad. Like, for example, recycling. If you're an avid recycler and you think you're saving the world, hit me up on an email. I'll tell you how that all really pans out, and I'll tell you how much you're not saving the world. But that's for a different day. But those batteries, the disposables, what you have to do to dispose of batteries like that, the process, where it has to get shipped off to, you have no idea. If you are true and you're all about green, let me tell you how much you are damaging the environment, if that's all it's about, just because of that one battery. Oh, Lord, you have no idea. You could burn years of fuel, years, and I don't think you'll have the impact on the environment that you would have in disposing one of those car batteries. And that's just because that's what I know from working in the industry as long as I have.
And that wraps up another episode of Little Joe's Conservative Corner.
Thank you for tuning in and joining the conversation.
Don't forget to subscribe to stay updated on all our latest episodes. And join us next time as we continue to explore the issues that shape our world. Until then, stay informed and stay engaged.